It's 7:34. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb with this VPR News. About 20 people have been moved to safety following flash flooding that washed out and damaged roads in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Governor Maggie Hassan says more than 2 inches of rain fell in the area between 3 and 4 p.m. yesterday, right on the heels of Monday night's flooding from heavy rains. Tuesday's thunderstorm and flash flooding covered Slayton Hill Road with water and rocks making it impassable. The fire chief says 20 people were moved from a nearby apartment complex. 15 others were relocated the night before. He said about 20 roads were impassable Tuesday afternoon. An emergency shelter had been set up at the Lebanon High School for people stranded by the flood damage. Vermont's vast forests, they're an important economic and recreational resource, but the region's woodlands are also home to a high concentration of breeding songbirds. These pint-sized, colorful migrants head north each summer to feast on insects and raise their young. They need a wide variety of forest types and structure to thrive. Forester loggers and bird conservationists are now working together to improve both forest stewardship and bird habitat. VPR's John Dillon went for a walk in the woods to see and hear how the program works.
It's an hour or so after dawn in the Sterling Forest, 1,500 acres of mixed northern hardwoods that belongs to the town of Stowe. Michael Snyder is a Stowe resident and former county forester who marked trees and oversaw a logging job at the forest several years ago. Snyder is now commissioner of Forest, Parks, and Recreation. As he checks to see how the woods responded to the timber harvest, the song of a magnolia warbler makes him smile. That's because on the other side of the logging road, where the trees weren't cut, the woods are sparse, thin, and quiet. Snyder points out the difference.
There's some struggling spruce and fir in the understory, a dense overstory, highly competitive situation, not really doing much, and I might point out, kind of silent over there. You look over here where we've manipulated it, that's where all the birds are singing. I think that's a pretty good indication that we're onto something here.
With us on the walk is Kristen Sharpless, a conservation biologist with Audubon Vermont. Armed with a pair of binoculars and an iPhone loaded with a birdsong app, Sharpless explains that Vermont's part of the northern forest is a major refuge for breeding songbirds.
So we're at the core of their breeding range. They're common here, but not elsewhere. Many of them are experiencing long-term population declines, so they're at risk. And the group we focus on uses a whole variety of forest habitats and conditions.
Think of the forest as providing different levels of vertical and horizontal structure, almost like a city with both three-story homes and tall apartment buildings. Each layer in the woods offers different habitat types for different species. We come to an area of the hillside where some large sugar maples were removed to create openings. It's now regenerated with a riot of new hardwood growth. Sharpless explains how openings like this favor certain types of warblers and other species, including a yellow-rumped warbler that's made this place its summer home.
There's a whole group of them that would tend to be in these bigger openings with this regeneration. Those are part of the forest. When you get wind disturbance or ice storms or insect outbreaks, you would naturally get these openings or gaps. And they'd be variable in size like this, with some snags and occasional overstory trees retained. So it doesn't need to be all uniform and really big to attract these particular groups of birds.
Sharpless and Snyder say foresters, landowners, and bird conservationists can align their goals, harvesting trees while improving these structural aspects of the forest. Audubon and the Department of Forest, Parks, and Recreation have teamed up to offer technical assistance. To date, more than 100 foresters have taken advantage of the training. Snyder says the woods can be managed with birds in mind without sacrificing economic potential.
If you have that, you can maintain those hundreds of thousands of acres in this healthy forest condition continuously, providing goods and services and creating this awesome habitat.
A black-throated blue warbler interrupts his thoughts. Snyder calls the bird the poster child of this kind of forest management.
Is with that species, really, we were hoping to enhance the habitat, and I believe we have.
As the sun rises higher, we hear several more warblers, nuthatches, and two species of vireo. A bald eagle, its white head gleaming in the bright light, also soars overhead. Snyder and Sharpless continue through the list.
Hermit thrush, ovenbird, chickadee, I heard. Blackburnian.
That's like 15, John. You can call it a forester's dozen. How's that?
An impressive morning of bird watching and listening in a forest that produces both timber, recreation, and song. For VPR News, I'm John Dillon.
Now to the Eye on the Sky forecast. A lot of clouds today, a few intervals of sun and hit or miss showers and thunderstorms. Spotty this morning, more likely afternoon. Warm today, highs 80 to 85 degrees. VPR has support from listeners like you and from Fairbanks Museum, home to Lyman Spitzer Jr. Planetarium, presenting guided tours of the cosmos daily, July and August, and North Country Honda Dealers' new and pre-owned Hondas in New York, Vermont, and New Hampshire, northcountryhondadealers.com. Coming up here on Morning Edition in the next 10 minutes, it's been 2 years now, almost that, since the Graham Frocks of Rochester lost their home to Tropical Storm Irene. Since that time, VPR has been following the family.